We are faced with the very gravest of challenges. The Bible calls this day Armageddon, the end of all things. And yet, for the first time in the history of the planet, a species has the technology to prevent its own extinction.
Well, that's a little grab there of the movie Armageddon. Do you remember that, where they actually had to blow up that asteroid before it wiped out Earth? And that's the US president there. It's quite pertinent to our next chat, you know, because NASA have announced they're taking a trip to an asteroid that, if it was brought back to Earth, would mean economic Armageddon. Andrew Dempster joins us. He's the director of the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research, and he's also a professor of the School of Electrical Engineering and Telecommunications at the University of New South Wales. Phew. Thanks, Andrew.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us today. Now, let's talk about this asteroid Psyche. Tell me where it is and what it's made of.
I'm not exactly sure where it is at the moment. It's in the asteroid belt.
Between Mars and Jupiter in the asteroid belt, I think.
That's right. The bulk of the asteroids in the solar system live between Mars and Jupiter, and NASA has an interest in what they call the asteroid redirect mission. What they want to do is actually bring an asteroid back, probably put it in orbit around the Moon, so they can do something useful with it. It's really to give their asteroids training in preparation for settling on Mars.
Right. Okay. So it's just a little small exercise then. This asteroid called Psyche, I was mentioning earlier, it's made of nickel, iron, platinum, gold and even cobalt. And NASA plans on visiting it in 2023.
That's right. There are a lot of asteroids of this type. There are many different types of asteroid, but this type where there's high-grade iron and nickel, it's almost like they are stainless steel, ready-made stainless steel. The other sort of more precious metals, it's difficult to guess exactly what the other constituents of the asteroid are.
Mm. But I'm imagining if they did manage to mine it in some ways, as I mentioned before, it would completely collapse the world economy, wouldn't it? Because, as I said to you, it's worth $10,000 quadrillion and the world's economy is only worth $73 trillion. How realistic is the prospect of mining asteroids?
We've done some studies here at the university where we've looked at mining an asteroid like this for iron, and the return that you'd get would only come in about 80 years or 85 years
if you brought the
metal back to Earth. But if you were able to use the metal in space, you would be able to get the return in 5 years. So this is where we really are looking at most of the mining that people are discussing in space really is for that use in space. And to be honest, some of this discussion about metal mining, we've run a couple of off-Earth mining forums here at UNSW. And the one in 2013, which was the first one, people were talking about mining metal. They were talking about precious metals, platinum group metals, rare earth. But by the time we ran the second one in 2015, we're running a third one later this year. Mm. But by the time we'd done the second one, everyone was talking about water. The first thing that's going to be mined in space will be water. That'll be for, you can turn it into hydrogen and oxygen and use it for rocket fuel, and that's probably the first thing that will be usefully mined and processed in space. The metals will be much further along when we're able to actually process them in space and use them to build things.
Well, it's an interesting thought, I suppose. So you could end up with a solid gold spaceship in that case. Couldn't you? I mean, if you were mining gold in space and you wanted a quick return on it, that wouldn't be such a bad thing. And we could send Donald Trump into space on a solid gold spaceship.
There could be people who think that's a good idea. but on the precious metals, things like the platinum group metals and the rare earth metals, they will be the first type of thing, I think, that we'd be looking to return to Earth.
Yep, yep.
When you look at things like mobile phones and the rate at which some of the specific electronics and batteries and so on are using up very low resources in those rare earth metals, if you could find them in space, that could be a very useful resource. Things like iron, and even in this context, gold is relatively common. Those sort of metals probably are not yet worth bringing back, but some of the rare earth metals could be.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it, to think that perhaps that it's those rare earths that are going to very much, eclipse. Well, are they eclipsing gold now in value?
Yeah, I believe so. Particularly some of those that are being used, like I say, in
mobile phones and so forth.
In the battery technology that's used in mobile devices. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Now, people hear this idea of grabbing hold of an asteroid and towing it back and putting it in orbit around the moon. And Glenn from Barara says, good grief, what are the chances of it breaking off and falling to Earth? I mean, how far along is this idea? It seems so far-fetched, let me put it that way.
Literally, yeah. The thing is, whenever you've got an object in space and you're changing its motion, its orbit,
its trajectory, yeah.
Yeah, you can predict where it's going to go. So if you're pushing this thing or pulling it along, it'll all be very, very controlled. And NASA knows how to move things around in space, and the dynamics are not really the issue. But in terms of an asteroid, causing Earth a problem, it's the ones we haven't seen that are an issue, because we've yet to see one that's problematic. And there's a little Australian company that reports close asteroids passes to Earth, and we get about one a week. To pass within the distance between Earth and the Moon.
How do you move asteroids? Let's get to the basics.
In the same way that you would move a rocket or whatever, you just apply a force with a rocket engine or rocket motor.
And is this done? Has this been done before? Is it done regularly? You sound like it's a very routine. You make it sound like it's routine, Andrew.
No, it hasn't been done before. I think the asteroid they're talking about is not particularly, moving an asteroid into that orbit means that it's can't be too big, because the amount of fuel that they'd need to take up would be prohibitive. But the laws of physics are routine for these guys.
Okay, and tell me, you say that water will be the first thing that's mined on an asteroid. How will we get that water back to Earth?
So this water would be used in space, like, for instance.
Oh, used in space. Okay, so So, that's right. You did say it would be used for sort of rocket propulsion.
Yeah. So if you've got very expensive satellites that are living out on the geostationary orbit that give us our satellite television and communications, if they run out of fuel, then that can be worth millions of dollars per month. To the operator. If they're able to refuel that satellite and give it a longer life, then you can see that there's a return there if you're able to refuel it, and that's where the economics comes in.
I was sort of thinking about some giant hose from an asteroid to Earth, because we're running out of water here.
Yeah, and water is basic to a lot of chemical processes. So if you are looking at processing things in space, you'd need water as an ingredient. I think the point that you were making to your traffic announcer about the ethics of this is a very interesting area of discussion as well.
Yeah, that's right. That it could just mean that we think if we have those resources and they're infinite, then why not just chew Earth up at a greater rate? Or B, perhaps it does change our opinion entirely if those resources are available.
You've hit right on where a lot of the interesting research and discussion is going on in the ethical area. In fact, I've even spoken to Andrew West on the ABC, ABC Sydney, about this on his ethics show.
And which side do you plump for?
Well, it's an interesting one. The arguments are, as you said, the idea that you can put into people's head that resources are infinite is probably a negative idea. It would mean that we would not be as careful about the resources which are finite that we do have. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think that, if you're mining in space, you're not actually affecting any ecosystems or anything. So there are arguments both ways. And I think that first one is an important one.
It's interesting too. You know, on this program, Andrew, I spoke to a survey ship that was doing a lot of work and scoping out sites for underwater mining in future. And that's probably the same dilemma, really. If we come to believe that we can go up in space or, you know, underwater and grab what we need, that's an interesting one. Just before I let you go, Andrew, whatever happened to that planet that was supposed to be made out of diamonds? Is that still out there?
Certainly, in the early days of off-Earth mining, that was a discussion, and I think it would be difficult to harvest that particular one. But yes, this is one of the things. You know, what is rare on Earth is not necessarily rare in space. Mining in space may end up actually being easier than some of that underwater mining, which has a lot of difficulties associated with it.
Yeah, it sounded like it was an incredible project. All right, well, that's very interesting. I must say that when we heard about that planet made of diamond, it was a really evocative, I thought. And Andrew just wants to let you know that he says apparently there are valuable resources on the sun. However, to retrieve them, you have to go at night, otherwise it's too hot.
Yeah, there's plenty of helium there to fill your balloons with.
Thanks for that, Shane. That's very helpful of you. But Andrew's a lot smarter than that, I'll tell you. You have to get up pretty early in the morning to fool him. Andrew Dempster, he's the director of the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research. He's a professor from the School of Electrical Engineering and Telecommunications from the University of New South Wales. Would you volunteer to be a space miner, Andrew?
I wouldn't. Not myself, but actually, we're not actually sending people to do it. It's all going to be done by robots for a long time.
Oh, crikey. Well, there goes another idea I had. I really got to get with the program. Thanks a lot for that, Andrew.
Okay.
See you later. Thank you. There you go, Andrew Dempster. So, yes, we won't be up there in our little mining gears with picks and axes and the helmet with the light on the front on an asteroid. No, that's not how it's going to work. Robots will be mining for iron particularly. That's the one they're going to go for, and using it in space and water and using it in space to try and get to Mars. I'm going to say it again. Why we are trying to get to Mars, I have no idea. There is no air there. Has this occurred to anybody? What is it? Anyway, moving on.